The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked Jesus, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? For you will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. So, a question for y'all. When was the last time that you were skeptical about something? Probably not too long ago. Maybe it's before a big job interview and you say, "I don't think I'm qualified enough to get this job." Or maybe it's someone's tall tales of adventure in the mountains and somewhere, and you think, "I bet that really didn't happen." Skepticism shows, I think, up a lot in our lives. And sometimes it's to keep us safe, right? That ice is definitely not thick enough for me to walk on. Or sometimes it shows up as self-protection. I don't think that she is really that into me. So hold that for a second. During the season of Epiphany, which is commonly remembered as the season of the three wise men following the star, it's a common thing for us to talk about, you know, following the light or following the call, as I was mentioning before worship. Call stories our lectionary will make sure of will be a common place in our scripture texts these next few weeks, particularly this week and next week when we read basically the same story of Jesus calling the disciples this week in the Gospel of John and next week in the Gospel of Mark. And sometimes, I'll speak for myself here, it's hard to read these Epiphany call stories and not get a tinge of call story envy. And, you know, I have personally no idea what it must be like to be a little boy and wake up to the voice of God like Samuel in our Old Testament reading. My personal call story can't really compete at all to that event between Samuel, Eli, and God. And you know what? I also can't really compete to sitting on a bench or sitting on the sand somewhere, mending my fishing nets, bump into Jesus, and then drop everything and follow him. In fact, my call story of discussions with my father, events in youth group, classes in college, and living abroad sound a little bit boring and definitely not as straightforward as some of the prophets of ancient Israel. Now, the Gospel of John gets a little bit, I think, of a bad rap sometimes because It just kind of appears in our church lectionary or our rotation of texts that we read every Sunday. Unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, who each get their full year of focus, currently we're in the year of Mark, the Gospel of John is sometimes treated as kind of the odd man out. Gets a little, you know, times of spotlight here and there, but then just kind of disappears. And apart from that, the style of Greek in the Gospel of John is written in a very different way than the other Gospels. It's the most poetic in style, and its sentence structure is arguably probably the most complex of any of the others as well. Think of the Gospel of Mark as an ESPN sports article, and the Gospel of John as a full commentary piece from the New Yorker magazine in their Greek language structure, and you'll kind of get the idea of how different these gospel narratives are. And so because of this, I think, you know, the Gospel of John can have a bad rap because of this very complex descriptions of Jesus and other characters that kind of fly in and fly out. And sometimes I think they seem maybe a little bit more out of touch. Maybe not as relevant as some of the other gospel characters to our lives. But I want to argue here, actually, that this fly-in story from John this morning, this story of Nathanael, actually, for me, is utterly refreshing and relates to me in a special way that the other stories of Jesus don't. Why is that? Skepticism. More than any other New Testament call story of Jesus that I know, none show a healthy dose of skepticism more than this story of Nathanael in the Gospel of John. And I really, really appreciate that a lot. So where then is this skepticism of Nathanael coming from? Well, it has to do, believe it or not, with rivalries. To put into context, Jesus, in the prior verses, of course, as is indicated in the first verse of our section of text this morning, has called the other disciples, has called Peter, has called Andrew and Philip, all of whom, interestingly enough, are from the same village, Bethsaida, which is in the southern part of Israel-Palestine, just south of Jerusalem. And Philip gets so excited, so amped up, that he goes over and he tells his best buddy, Nathanael, and it's unclear on whether he was kind of aware about this or not. Maybe he's so amped up with excitement he doesn't realize, you know, that Nathanael is from Cana, which is in the northern part of Israel-Palestine. Well, it's clear to us, we don't know exactly where Cana was. We have a couple of spots, but there's that they're all really close, and it's clear to many biblical historians that Nazareth and Cana were rivalry villages. They were only probably about 5 kilometers apart, we think. Now, how many of you have ever grown up or lived in a town with a rival? Even in a larger city, I grew up in suburban Minnesota. You know, I think of our high school rival, Eden Prairie, who clobbered us in the homecoming football game my freshman year. Rivals are real, right? So Nathanael, honestly, I think, puts it out there. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Clinton or Potomac or Bonner or Hellgate or Sentinel? Can anything good come from my rival village? Probably not. And here's where the beauty and the, I think, relevant part for me, the humanness part of this story comes out. We have this amazing, I think, progression that happens between, that goes from skepticism to faith in Nathaniel's call story. Nathaniel starts off by being super skeptical, if not just a little bit curious. Curious enough, it seems, to seek out maybe just a little bit more. And notice also, importantly, how that skepticism is never condemned either. It's simply washed aside by both Jesus and Philip. And then Nathanael comes to see Jesus, and Jesus gives Nathanael a very personal compliment. Here is a true Israelite, through and through. Now that's something that you don't expect from your arch rival, is it? Nathanael seems to get blown away by this and keeps asking a question. Where did you know me? To which Jesus replied, which is a common theme, of course, in the Gospel of John, I saw you. I saw you. Nathanael is then moved to faith. He follows the call. The story, I think, can remind us that call stories are never about convincing. They're about showing. What has God shown you in your life? How has that led to your call? Were you on the skepticism spectrum when God, maybe through someone or something, showed you Christ? I know I was. And sometimes I continue to be. I think we all are and all should be on that healthy skepticism spectrum. So this, I think, is where we get to that question of what does it mean to follow, then, the call of Christ in this Epiphany season? Can you continue to be skeptical and faithful? Well, to answer that, here's maybe where I think the church gets a little bit mixed up sometimes. You know, the story of Nathanael makes it clear that following the call of Christ doesn't mean showing all the knowledge that you have in Christ. I was talking with another church member of ours this past week who explained how a group of Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on her door, and she welcomed them and had good conversation with them, and in my opinion, asked them some good Lutheran questions. And she described how in response to these questions, they brought up just this incredible amount of biblical scripture quotes. Something like 20 quotes that they just kind of handed her, but didn't go much farther than that. Left her kind of wondering, well, what is this kind of all about? Now, how many of us have had maybe discussions with folks who kind of seem to quote the Bible every third sentence, right? And in fact, a college professor of mine used to nickname these Bible bullets conversations. He would say, you know, I guarantee you none of us were probably brought to faith by feeling guilty and feeling shot up with Bible bullets. Christ doesn't leave Nathanael with 35 scripture quotes and says, let me know what you think, I'll come back. Convinced you yet? The call story of Nathanael is showing Christ. Period. So for us then, following the call of Christ in this church is also about simply showing Christ in our lives to others. Come and see. The convincing is not our job as much as we may think it is. If you think about it, showing Christ, I think, in our lives, inviting someone to dinner or coffee, providing a helping hand, or simply being present in faithful conversation when one needs it, or more than that, in other ways, can be more honest to who we are as well as individuals. It gives us more room for skepticism to be wiped away. There's this group of three faith leaders out of Seattle, a Methodist pastor, a Jewish rabbi, and an Islamic imam, who call themselves the Interfaith Amigos, who have for years, they're good friends, and they have written multiple, probably 10 books together. And they do conferences together. They came and spoke at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary when I was attending class there. And one of the questions that one of my fellow students raised for the Methodist pastor, Don McKenzie, was how he reconciled proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ with his friends being a Jewish rabbi and a Muslim imam. And he was very interesting in his answer, and he said, well, you know, for me, my job is to model Christ to the best of my ability. And my friends know that. It doesn't, in fact, have to be where I show them scripture or show them some kind of line from Christian tradition. They know that I'm speaking from my tradition in modeling Christ to each of them. And in fact, he went on and he said, you know, it frees him to not have to pretend to be somebody who he's not. He can simply be in relationship with his two friends. That's where I think Jesus was at, being rivals with Nathanael. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Come and see. Come and see in Christ, even rivals can be brothers and sisters. Come and see the ordinary become extraordinary. Come and see the radical love and peace that God desires for this world. Come and see. Come and see. May we be able to follow the call, not be afraid of skepticism, and show Christ in as many ways honestly as we can in our lives. Amen.